We're learning of a Mizmor Nun Dalet. Mizmor Nun Dalet, Mizmor of Nov Nod. Nod. Nod means to wander. Pasuk Aleph. Last week on Friday, we learned the entire Mizmor with the Mitzudot Stavit. Today, I want to review the Mizmor again with Rashi. A little Chazara and a little just to fill in a few more details. What is the theme of this Mizmor? At face value, the theme of this Mizmor is about Lashon Hara, V'la Malshinim, informers, people who rattle out. Why is it called a rat? Like the animal?
A rat thing.
What expression? What's the word? What?
A rat thing. A squealer.
A squealer?
Why
the word rat?
The rat stick to snow is everywhere.
Oh. Okay, so we have David over here is running for his life. David, Shaul is paranoid. Shaul is losing his malchus. The Ruach HaKodesh has departed from him. Shaul is in a very bad frame of mind. He comes up with these outrageous charges that David's a murid b'malchus. It's really bizarre what's going on here, and for no good reason, Shaul is trying to take the life of the Mashiach Hashem of David. And David is running for his life, and then he goes to places where he thinks he is safe, and lo and behold, the people that he was devoted to, who are his friends, they betray him. And the Mizmor Nun Dalet, and likewise as Doig back in Nun Beis, is more than the concept of Dal Torim, of being an informer. It's about betrayal. Betrayal is the worst nida, the worst crime you can commit in this world is betrayal. I don't know if you notice a lot of you.
Did you say they were part of Shevet Yehuda?
Yes, according to what I saw in the art scroll. Yes, exactly. People betray. Now, if any of you pay, a lot of people here, unfortunately, I see, won't pay attention to the news. But if you've been following, if you follow the news the last couple of years, okay, it's been a very rough time for a lot of people, and I don't have to explain that to you, everyone else, and there's been a lot of difference of opinion on a lot of different things, in health issues, as you all know. And one thing that comes up very often is there are certain people that have very strong beliefs in whatever they may be, and other people obviously totally disagree, 180 degrees disagree. Mm-hmm. And what has happened is people that are very, very close, who have been, you know, partners, been working together for years, have openly betrayed their fellow man. And you read about this a lot. You read about this a lot, that people working in a certain place and there are people who did not follow the rules okay, so you didn't follow the rules, so you have to be dismissed, but people have really gone way overboard in basically the word that is used is betrayal. I was there for you, I gave my life for you. We now come to a point in time we have a disagreement. We have to.
If I may, it's the opposite of Hakoras Hatov.
Is it really the opposite?
No, not necessarily.
I don't know if it's the opposite. It's
well,
a very.
As a starting point.
Okay, it's a Hakoras Hatov recognition. But there's something called betrayal.
Hakoras Hatov is a basic yisod in everything, you know.
Is lack of
hakoras
betrayal? Yeah,
betrayal.
Is lack of hakoras from betrayal?
Coffee toast.
It's not necessarily the same. I don't think it's necessarily the same thing.
It's very, very good.
And you read, if you've been paying attention to the news the last 3 years.
Instead of
I don't know if they do necessarily do you favors.
Doesn't
they do you favors? There's a certain integration in society. You work together. A civility that you. There's a certain expectation.
Someone who did you a favor, you're betraying them.
Okay, fine. There's no question. Mordechai, you're correct. There's no question that there is. But I don't know if it only refers to Karas Tov. obviously that's a higher level of betrayal. Obviously, that's a very Mordechai. That's a very high level of betrayal. When someone you went and you paid for, you know, you did everything for him, you put him where he is, you put him on the map, and then he goes and he spits in your face and actually goes and he does you in. That's a very, very high level of betrayal. But even if you didn't do it, just you work together. You just, you know, you're part of the team. There's a certain expectation. And the person stabs you in the back when there is a problem. Obviously, the whole life, every day there are problems. See, people have relationships, there are problems. And there are different ways things can be worked out or not worked out. And people go over the top, in mamish, stabbing you in the back. That is a very frightening experience. And there are people, I know people that tell me this. They worked for 30 years with other people. And there were certain situations and how in a second, overnight, they become enemy, your enemy number one, and they ruin your life. They ruin your life. It's a very, very painful, and you begin to wonder, what was my relationship with these people all along for the last 30 years? I thought we were friends, we were good to each other. You know, you read all the Holocaust stories with the Goyim, you know, at the Goyim when the Nazis came to town, what the local non-Jews, how they started to behave to the Jews, like out of nowhere, it was like, wow, I thought we were good, you know, I thought we were good, and look what's going on, and this is a very, very painful reality, and it really makes you wonder what makes people tick, what's going on under the hood. And David was the ultimate psychologist, and first when they talk about this, David seems, when they talk about the story of the Zifim. Okay, we have to really learn Shmuel inside out. When they talk about the story of the Zifim, they talk that David was in shock beyond belief. David was in shock from a lot of people. David was in shock from Doeg. He was in shock from Achitofel. He was in shock from his own son, Avshalom. And he was in shock from this community called the Zifim. And it seems that from the people that he was the most in shock from, who betrayed him, was the Zifim. These are his only. His own shevet, his own family. His own family. They have no connection to Shaul, and they have nothing to gain. They have nothing to gain by kissing up to Shaul. So why would they join? Why would they betray David and give away his hiding place, and call Shaul and say, "You want to get David? Here he is. Come get him." What do you have to gain? What is Shaul going to do for you? And you're my ach atzmi ubisori ata, and the act of betrayal leaves a person just scratching his head, like where am I? Which world am I in? And this
maybe it's an act of trying to side with the perceived
narrative, the perceived narrative, right? The winner, like today, so was telling me today, in order to get ahead in the business world. You want to get ahead, you want to get a promotion in all the big companies, and you have a family, you have children, you have a wife, and you're old-fashioned, you know. But if you want to get ahead, you have to sacrifice. You have to demonstrate to your company that you are embracing the new world of
where your loyalties lie.
And that if you want to get a promotion, you're not going to get a promotion unless you openly.
But we see this in our own community.
Yeah.
We're certain. I don't want to say lot organizations, people, whatever. They will side with some politicians because they perceive that politician to be the one who's going to win the election, and therefore they
get the money.
I'm not going for war. But they
and what are they?
To be the winner, like they perceive Shaul to be the winner.
Right.
So they sided that side.
Right.
Even though it's wrong, it's bad,
it's
you know,
corrupt. And at the same time, what do? You betray everyone else, all of the other leaders who are working very hard not to win, because they, ultimately, anyway, but to take a stand, to take a stand on what is correct. To what is correct. So the one group of people, we know who the winner is going to be, so we're going to kiss up to that person, and we, in the process, we're going to splinter ourselves off from everyone else and basically betray Achein the B'nai Yisrael.
Well, weren't they afraid of their lives? Didn't Shaul wipe out all
It seems not. It seems from the story that they were not.
Well,
They were not afraid. They had nothing to gain from this.
That was their way of coping.
They had nothing to gain from this.
By siding with it.
Yes.
And that's what David was utterly shocked. David's running away for his life. He comes to this community, the Zifim. They're his own people. They have nothing to do with Shaul. They have nothing to do with anyone. What are you coming to kiss up to Shaul for? He's the perceived winner. So you just get, but I'm your family. What's going on over here? It's a very, if you ever experience something like this, okay, Baruch Hashem, people over here, they never experienced this. Baruch Hashem, Ashrecha. You don't, it's like, what? What? This person betrayed me? What did I do to him? What favor did I do to him that he, thank you. Okay, we're going to learn Refuah Shlema. Mayor Ben Gittel is having an operation now. Whoever this person is, Refuah Shlema, the schus of learning.
Amen.
Okay, it's a very frightening reality in life, and this Mizmor is coming to express that idea. We did already the Mitzudas, and over here we're just reading it again, and it's just something to keep on. Betrayal is an ugly, ugly midah, and the person has to you know, look out for this. Like I told you this many times. I knew someone who I was very friendly with, and all of a sudden one day he's in a lot of trouble with the law, a lot of trouble. And my first gut reaction was I want to distance myself from this guy 100 miles because I don't want to get this guy. I was very close, and I was really, really shocked to see that the people in his community, his chevra, just the opposite. He's one of ours. He's in trouble, and we're going to rally for him, and we're going to take him. We're going to embrace him. And it is. I'm thinking about even another story. They put a bail for him. They went and they raised an enormous amount of money to post bail, and then they take him in. Don't worry. You committed a crime. No one's denying the crime. No one is coming to whitewash the crime. You're gonna go to jail. You're gonna suffer quite a bit. But we're gonna be here for you. We're gonna help you get through this. We're gonna be here. We're gonna visit you every single visiting day. Every single one has to sign up and go spend the whole day going to visit him. And everyone's gonna rally for him. Everyone's gonna write letters and do this and do this. And we're not gonna abandon you. And you're gonna come here to shul. We're gonna give you an aliyah, and you're gonna admit your crime, and you're gonna do teshuva. But we're here for you. We're gonna embrace you.
After what happened in Nod,
yeah,
everybody was
terrified.
Terrified, etc. He was
wiped out. So
our town also.
So you just
Shaul was not.
So you defend yourself. You 81 guy. He killed 85 people. It's like, you know, listen, life is very complicated. There's a fear. There's a lot of fear. Look, I know someone who works in a hospital, and they told me there's a certain thing going on in the hospital. Okay, don't do COVID. I'm not talking about COVID. I'm talking about something else. And everyone there knows. Everyone there knows that this is not a good thing, what they're doing, a certain type of thing they're doing. But just no one wants to rock the boat, lose their job. No one wants to be under scrutiny. So everyone is complicit. And you talk to every single person individually. Is this right or wrong? Wrong. So why don't you do something? I'm just one guy here. There's all these hot shots. What do I need? I have the family support. I have to pay tuition. I have kids. What do I? Lamali litzara hazai. It's none of my business. So everyone just, and that's what keeps it going. It keeps it going. So you're right. He killed Noiv Irakayhan. You murder Noiv Yerakayhanim. So now everyone's afraid they're next on the chopping block, and they're just silent. And then, David, see, you call up the police, call up Shaul, come get David, take him away and kill him, torture him. And David is, I can't believe this. I cannot believe this. I'm an innocent person. I did nothing. Shaul is paranoid. What do you want from me? So you don't like me? So you don't have to go call him up and tell him where I am. David is just an utter, utter shock. And I think I saw this, not in the first one, this paper, the art school, this is phenomenal. The art school, English art school, the new one, the Jaffa edition, with the English commentary is phenomenal. phenomenal. Whoever did it is just beyond belief how they put together such a work. The Mefarshim that they selected, it's a lot more than just what we have over here on the page of the Mikros Gedolos. And he writes there that David really, the betrayal that David experienced from the Zifim set him into a very deep depression, a shock like none other, more so than Achitofel, more so than Avshalom, more so than Doeg, more so than a lot of all the problems that he had with his children in his life. He says, you also? A whole chevra people, what's going on over here? And it's a Musar Haskel, you're learning Tehillim in life. And I told back to that story. I had this friend, I had more than one friend, and all of a sudden, oh no, I cannot deal with this. I ran mamish to the other side. And I'm watching these other guys who know him. So big deal. They went and they embraced, took care of him, helped you get through it. No one is denying a crime. I'm not talking about a person who's a child, a molester, an abuser. We're not talking about that. We're talking about someone's in trouble. Not even every steal someone's money. No, this is no tzaddikol here. You did an avera, you got to deal with the avera. But just because it's an avera, we're not going to go put you in the trash can. We're not going to go flush you down the toilet. You're also a person. You also got a life. It's a mahalach. We got to help you. We got to get you through this. You have to do teshuva. You're gonna have to deal with this. But we're gonna help you. We're gonna help you deal with this. And I'm telling you, I'm just blown away how far I am from like you know, I pride about, I give a shir. You know, you pride yourself. Yeah, you wear a black hat. And now everywhere, and other people. They're really good people out there. They're really good people. Person does an avera. You know, he did an avera. David did also an avera. And there's a process to help people deal with the situation that they have. Ein tzadik ba'aretz sheyastav lo yecheta. But to totally, guy's in trouble and everyone just stays far, far away. That's what happened to David. David's in trouble, and no one, they're not asking you for your help. Just don't make it worse. Don't go make it worse. And what did David do? David is in a very deep state of depression, and David here is expressing his shock, and the only one, Ein Lanu Lihishoin Ela Al Avinu Shabbat Shamayim. And also, besides that, this is very true for on an individual level, this is very true for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, at the end of the time, no one's going to be there for us. We have no one, Ein Lanu Lishon Ela Alavinu Shabbat Shamayim. Everyone that does good for Klal Yisrael, Chazal say, they're only doing it for their own benefit. Okay, they're doing it. You know, I used to titter when I heard that America, how much money America gives to Eretz Yisrael. Like, America, you can't rock the boat. Can't rock the boat with America. All the prime ministers, as Netanyahu says, the role of the prime minister of Israel is to keep the American president happy. That's what he said. That's the primary role of the prime minister of Israel. Keep the American, because America totally, it used to, when the state of America, the state of Israel was established. If not for America, forget it. And even today, to a very large degree. How much foreign aid do they give? How much foreign aid?
All the aid is spent in the United States.
Right, okay, there's all these things. But they still give money. There's no question, you go, money, they pour money. So I read, they give about $5 billion a year.
Boeing would go out of business.
With not for Israel. $5 billion a year, and a lot of it anyway is spent on the American economy, $5 billion. So how much in one year has America pledged to Ukraine in 1 year? Over $100 billion. $100 billion. So wow, $100 billion, all of a sudden I have a whole different attitude. Just like that. What?
After they steal everything, there's only 8 billion left.
$100 billion. Wow, you have $100 billion just a one shot to Ukraine. And what? And by the way, what are they giving the money for? Can anyone explain? Can you find me one person on the street that can really explain what is going on over there? Everyone is dying. That's all we know. The infrastructure is down to nothing. There are millions of people. There are 43 million people who live in Ukraine. They don't have electricity. They don't have gas. They have nothing. What's going on over here? Half the people anyway want to join Russia. So what's this all about? They have nothing. And the number of people who are have died, young, healthy people that are dead, both from Russia and from, are all dead. What's going on? And America, $100 billion just like that. And Israel get $5 billion. You know, it's at the end of the day, you have to realize this mizmor is a very powerful mizmor, the mizmor of betrayal. Betrayal. You never would expect how someone can just stab you in the back just like that, out of the blue. Ein lanu lishoyn el avinu shebishmaim. During COVID, a lot of, you know, the people askon for the last 30 years, there've been people in Klal Yisrael have been worked their way up in the government, askonim, to be, whenever there's a problem in the Jewish community, to talk to the government, to deal with all the issues. During COVID, it was a nightmare. It was just a chil Hashem, one chil Hashem after another chil Hashem. It was just a total nightmare. All the askonim, the coordination to deal with all the different issues, to find solutions that should satisfy everyone. What happened to all the askonim? What happened to all the askonim? No one to talk to. No one to talk to. Everything is like poof, a puff of smoke. And it's very frightening. This is the way it is. And the end of the day is Ein lanu lishoyn ela alavina sheva shamayim, and to learn the Musar and not to be like those people who betray other people. Don't betray someone who you're close to, no matter what. Person has a problem. Nu, he has a problem. We all have problems. Everyone in tzadik ba'aretz shayasta v'lo yechata. And the end of the day, don't be like the Zifim. Don't be like Doeg. Don't be like Achitofel. Just because David appears to lose, so go down with David. Go down. Shaul is pursuing. So Shaul, you don't want to help him, but don't make it worse. Don't make it worse for someone. Don't go and dig a deeper grave for that person. That is the Musar Haskel of this mizmor that we did last week. We review now with the Rashi's and just a few more insights. Lamatzech b'neginas maskil l'David. This mizmor is insightful. And David composed, as one of the arts called b'neginas. Whenever David adds a musical instrument, it means he's depressed. And he needs a certain, a very precise a musical instrument to pull him out of the deep sadness, the deep depression that he is in from a particular issue. Bevoi hazifim vayomu l'shaul, when the zifim came, who are part of David's family, the members of his own family, vayomu l'shaul, haloi David mistater imanu. Guess what? Guess who's living at this address? We put up on him a GPS tracker. Here, take him out. Much easier than a Chinese balloon. He's on the ground. Okay? Hello, David, Mr. Terry Manu. What are you doing? What are you telling David where he is? What's going on over here? So Asher David says, Elokim b'shimcha ha'yishieni. David says, I got no one but you. When this happens to me, when my own fellow men can go and the Zif and my family can go and can rat me out, I know now I have no one but you. Elokim b'shimcha, your name only. There's no person in this world that can save me now. Hoshieni, uvigvurascha, sidineni, judge me. In other words, there's another problem. The Medrash says, we have it over here, and I'm not sure we have it over here. Unfortunately, I didn't mark down all the things. I saw things different places. I didn't have my swam with me yesterday. But this is very frightening. When a person, like this, a medrash that almost sounds like you're living in America. The person has a complaint, person has a grievance. So where do you go? You go to the local court. And if the local court is corrupt, so then you go and you appeal the decision, you go to a higher court. And if that court is corrupt, you appeal the decision. Baruch Hashem in America, one of the biggest blessings in America is the Court of Appeals. It's a very, very, very interesting concept, which in the Torah doesn't really, you have to understand how this works. We will talk about this concept of to appeal a decision. You go to Bezdin, you have a Din Torah, and Bezdin Paskins Chayiv. Is there in Halacha, in Shulchan Aruch, a way to appeal that decision? And basically it seems no. It basically, in Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat, would appear, if you go to a Beis Din, and you you pick one judge, he picks another judge, and then you decide to pick a judge together, and you sit down, and you talk... And the or the machloikis, excess machloikis, the judge pick a judge. You sit down to a din Torah, and Besen Paskins chayiv. Is there, and you're dealing, let's say, with millions of dollars. Is there a technique? What? You're corrupt. I was fooled. You dayanim, you somehow, someone paid you off. You're corrupt. Let's appeal the decision. Is there a mahalich to appeal a decision in Besdin? It doesn't seem so. Let's say you can prove that one of the dayan that you selected, you thought he was a, you now discover he took a bribe. Is there a way to appeal a decision? I don't know. It doesn't seem so. It seems very, very difficult. In secular law, there's a whole system. You can appeal a decision. That's why many people, when they go to Beis Din today, the, one of the primary reasons why people today, they go to Arkois, you're not allowed to go to secular court. It is an Isser Daraisa, according to many Rishonim. Yet everyone goes to secular court. So the rule, you have to first go to a Beis Din, and the Beis Din has to give you permission. We're not capable of handling this situation because all of the technicalities. So therefore, we appoint the Goyish court to be our agent in judging for you. So why do people tell the Beis Din that we're going to go to a secular court? One of the main reasons, if you speak to people who go do this, is because people must have the ability to appeal at a decision. If you go to court and you take the Beis Din, that's it, you're finished. The case is over and there's nothing you can do, basically. But if you go to a secular court and you lose, you just go up one level higher. Okay, go up level higher, a level higher, level higher. And let's say you come to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court decides against you, if you could even get to the Supreme Court, it's almost impossible. And then what happens? There's nothing, no one to talk to. And if the Supreme Court is corrupt, if the Supreme Court is corrupt, then there is no one, there's no one to hear your grievance. So the Medrash here says that David over here seems, I wish I could find the Medrash, I don't remember, I think also in the English version, David over here says, if I would have gone to the local court and they would be corrupt, I can complain to the next level, and then to the next level, and the next. But here, Shaul himself, the Supreme Court is corrupt. And if Shaul is corrupt, and Shaul is coming to kill me for no good reason, what did I do to him? He's coming to, who do I have to complain to? There's no justice. And therefore, David says, in this matzav, Elokim b'shimcha hoshieni uvigvuratzcha sidineni. The words, the focus on Sidineni, there is no one in this world to whom I can bring my grievance. If I went to a court and they decided against me and I can prove they were corrupt, I can go to the next level, to a higher level. But if I'm already holding at the highest level, Shaul himself has put out an order to kill me and he's corrupt, I'm not chayav, I didn't do anything to him, who's going to be my judge? Oh, only you, Elokim. Elokim is Midas Hadin. Only Hashem in the Midas Hadin is the one that can be my judge in this case. Elokim Shema Tefilasi. Listen to my prayer. Ha'azina Le'imrei Fi. Listen to my prayers. Ki Zorim Kamu Olai. Zorim. He's calling over here. This is a euphemism. Loshon Saginar. This is what is that the Zifim, they're not Zorim. They're Kroivim. These are my cousins. The Zifim are my own family. But the way they have behaved, he's calling his own family Zorim, strangers. He's using this word with precision. These are the people that I expected to be the Kroivim, to come to my to be there for me, and instead they betrayed me. Kamu olai v'oritzim, tyrants. Bikshu nafshi. We learned last week, and what's the root cause? The root cause is always Yira Shemayim. Hine, and then now let's go over here, Rashi. Rashi says, "V'groska sidineni tinkoim nikmasi kmo ki yodin Hashem amo." Hashem, take revenge. Now over here, it also touches upon this concept which Chazal say a person should never do, is to be moiser dinoy la Shemayim. A person causes him tzar. Is a person allowed to say, Hashem, I pray to you, you
get them.
You should person daven to Hashem. So Chazal say you should never do that. You should never ever do that. The most you should do is just, I don't know, just be, what are you supposed to do? Goyim you can do. The goyim you can do. Your own fellow Jew. Should a person...
You could say, save me.
Save me, but don't say to Hashem, today we're not in this. David did this all the time. David was,
they open your fire.
David was very passionate, and David, would you find in Tehillim, would continuously do this thing called be Moiser Dinoi Lashamayim. Everyone is corrupt, and there's no one out there to save me. My fellow Jews, Hashem, you wipe out these people. Now, David was at an exalted level of Kedusha where he can do this, and in fact, Chazal say he should not have done it. Because all of the curses, one of his people that had a falling out with basically everyone. Reminds me, Lahavdil Elif Alfi Havdalis, on with all of the exponents you can possibly have in this world to Trump.
How did I know you were going
to... Is there anyone that Trump doesn't ultimately have a falling out with? Ramchol? Is there anyone? There are some? It's on his third wife here. What are you talking about? Is there anyone? Okay, I told you, Lahavdil Elif Alfi Havdalis with all of the exponents, but David basically had a falling out with almost everyone, and one of his loyal people was Yoav. Yoav was his right hand man, chief of staff, his top general, okay, secretary of defense, you name it, and all the titles.
His nephew,
Tzruria, his nephew, everything. What did Yoav not have? What relative? His nephew, his chief of staff, his five-star general, his secretary of defense, you name it. And at the end, he cursed him with such groyser klalos. And Chazal say, in other words, he was moiser dina lashamayim. And Chazal say, all of the curses that he wished for Yoav came upon David and his descendants. It's pretty scary. That we moiser dina lashamayim, you go and you say to Hashem, Hashem, I'm helpless, and so one thing you pray to Hashem, Hashem, save me, get me out of here, get me out of here. He does, but to go and say Hashem, to curse him, and to what's called moiser dinoi lashamayim, that is something which we should never ever ever do. David did it all the time. And Chazal were not happy with that. And Chazal, in fact, say, when you study David's life, you will see that all of the curses that he heaped upon Yoav all came upon him and his descendants. So it's an extremely frightening thing. And here in this Mizmor, he's cursing the Zifim. He's saying then that Hashem, he calls them Zorim, he calls them Aritzim, and he says they have no Yirah Shemayim. And he demands in Pasuk Gimel, Uvigvurascha Sidinei. Well, over here, you see, I should be careful. He doesn't actually say anything really. He just says nasty things about them. And he says, judge me. But Rashi, right? Rashi, though, that's why I triggered this, because Rashi, see, if you just translate the words literally, Uvigvurascha Sidinei, judge me and show the world that I'm innocent, I have done nothing wrong, he's not actually asking for vengeance, he's not asking for punishment. But Rashi doesn't see it like that. Rashi says, included in this expression, Ruscha Sidinani, Tinkaim Nikmasi, exact my revenge. Kamoki Yodin Hashan Amoy, as the Pasuk says, the word Yodin, when you use the word Tidinani, it automatically evokes the principle of vengeance, of punishment, of suffering.
It doesn't mean a neutral kind of din. Let's go to court and an impartial judge will decide. No, it's way past that point. The other party is guilty and now...
Punishment. Linkoim. Rashi, see, this is, if not for this Rashi, I don't know if you would go so far to say this. Rashi adds the word tinkoim. Nekama. Nekama doesn't mean, just show the world that I'm innocent. No, and whatever, with the guilty people... Let the world decide. Let whatever will be, will be. No. it says they have to suffer punishment. What does it say? What does it say? That's not what it says in the Targum. The Targum did not want to go so far. Targum says Eloka b'shmach in your name, Peroik Yossi, redeem me, uvikoyach givur toch, and the power of your might, dun Yossi, judge me. Targum doesn't say the word nikoma, vengeance. Vengeance connotes there's going to be suffering to the guilty party. Rashi goes to an extreme. Hinei lukim oizer li, Hashem will help me. Hinei help me. Hashem b'soymchein al Hashem, b'soymchein avshi, you are those that will support my neshama. Now here is where he does go. Maybe that's what triggered Rashi to say what he wanted to say. Yoshiv hora l'shoyroi. Here is where David is being moiser dinoi l'ashamayim. May it boomerang the evil that my enemies wish upon me upon them. It should go on. It should yoshiv boomerang. It should make an about face and go the evil they want to bring. They want to bring my death. They're telling Shaul, here he is, and come kill me. May that ra come upon those l'shoriroi, those that look, those people who look at me with an evil eye. Ba'amitcha, with your emes, hatsmi sem, here it is, you can't deny what it says, cut them off. Rashi, we did already the mitzvah, Rashi, l'shoriroi, le'oinai. What does it mean, le'oinai? So that means those that look upon me with like inui. Michal, how does it translate this in English? Rashi's words. Yeah, l'shoriroi pasuk zayin, lashon zayin, pasuk zayin seven. See the.
Those who eye me.
So the word l'oinai. How does the word ayin? I guess it comes from the word ayin. But not near. Okay, so the word lo'oinai in Rashi means, I guess, an ayin, an eye. Those that look upon me with evil intent. Okay, that's also what the Mitzvah David said pretty much. Be'amitcha, with your mid of emes, mitoch sha'ata amiti v'yamarta lipora meholche rochil v'roit fe'herek. You promised Hashem that you will punish those that slander. Okay, rochil, you gossip mongers. The right thing, those people that pursue murder, lekach therefore hats me same, cut them off. Next, now we come to a very hard pasuk. Pasuk. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's it. That's the end of the mizmor. Fine. I was thinking about the next mizmor. Okay, because that's pasuk gimel, next mizmor. Let's finish off the mizmor of here. Bindava ez b'cholach. When you Hashem, when you save me, it sounds almost like he's making a neder. Mikan shenoidrin be'es tzara Yaakov Avinu. When he was running away from Esav, he said, save me from my enemies, save me from Esav, and Vayidor Yaakov Neder Lemar. If you Hashem will be with me, v'chulu v'chulu, v'ho'even ha'zois, asher samti matzivo yeh beis ha'lokim, I'll build this as the beis ha'migdash. But Hashem, you have to first do your part. And Chazal learned mikan, when a person is in a matzav of tzara, he should make a neder and promise Hashem that if you help me get through this situation, I will reciprocate. And here David is doing just that. Here I am, I'm in a very desperate situation. Help me get rid of these people, cut them off, and then bindava ez b'cholach, I will bring sacrifices of thanksgiving. Oideh shimcho Hashem, I will thank you. I'll thank you, Hashem, your name. Ki toy, because your name is good. Ki mikol tzara hatzila. This is a theme that we had many, many times. Ki mikol tzara hatziloni uve oivai ro'asa eini. This is, depreciate this line, because we had this idea a few times. David always learns from the past. David says, I look back in my life. This is not the first time this has happened to me. I've been betrayed before. I've been in a very difficult situation before. And at the time I was in that matzav, I thought I would never, ever survive. And yet what happened? I survived. So the same way I survived then, that is a lesson. I'll survive now. I have history. Okay, if it never happened to you before, then you give up. But when you have behind you in your back pocket, look, this happened before and we got through it. I have experience. You'll get through it. You go to the dentist and he has to do some do some major work. Did this ever happen to you? Yeah, I had it on the other side of my mouth. So you know the process. You got through it before. You know that by 2 o'clock today, everything will be good. So it's not going to be a nightmare. It's interesting. This week's parasha, I wanted to say this over on Friday. I didn't get a chance to say this on Friday. That Moshe Rabbeinu, they're leaving Mitzrayim. They're leaving Mitzrayim. And they say to Moshe, Hamibli ein kvarim b'Mitzrayim. Okay, the Egyptians are chasing after Klal Yisrael. They left Mitzrayim. And they say, Moshe, what did you do to us? You took us out of Egypt. Hamibli ein kvarim b'Mitzrayim. Are there not enough graves in Egypt that you're taking us over here to the desert to die over here? Haloi zeh hadover asher amarti aleichem b'Mitzrayim. Chadal mimenu v'navdo es Mitzrayim. Rashi on that pasuk says, what do you mean, haloi zeh hadover? Rashi quotes the pasuk when they said to Moshe, Yishboit Hashem v'yeroh. May Hashem judge you, Moshe. Ki hivashtem esrichenu. You made our lives miserable. They cursed Moshe. When did they curse Moshe? When Moshe went to Paro for the very first time and told Paro, let my people go. Paro said, these guys have too much time on their hands. So you know what? No longer should the Egyptians provide the straw. Let the Jews go and look for the straw themselves. So when the news went out that they not only do you have to provide the quota of bricks, you have to go and collect the straw. And they saw Moshe, they cursed him. They mamish cursed him. And Rashi says they cursed him again. The same exact curse. They cursed him back when Moshe arrived on the scene. It was the same curse they gave to him right now. That's what it says in Rashi. So the question is, first of all, it's a shocking thing that after everything is said and done, after 10 makos, and after all the miracles they experienced, they went all the way back in their lofty madrega of after everything to go back to the bitterness that they had a year ago and curse Moshe with the same curse. After 12 months, they didn't elevate themselves to a higher madrega, even though they were very upset. The curse should not be with the same intensity. Okay, but that's another topic. But what was Moshe's reaction? Nothing. Water off a duck. They say halayt zat. So what does Moshe do? Moshe davens. Hashem says to Moshe, "Matitzak elai, go. Just don't worry about it." Does Moshe get upset? No, nothing. Mamish. They curse Moshe with the gresta klala. And Moshe, not a word. He takes it. What does he do? He davens. Hashem says, "Matitzak elai." What happened last time? When they curse Moshe back in Parsha Shemos, what did Moshe do? He goes to Hashem and says, "Lama hareyoyso lamazeh shalachtani umiyos basi el paro." From that time, he goes and he says to Hashem, "What did you do, Hashem?" Moshe, he's all shaken up. Klal Yisrael curses Moshe, and Moshe goes to Hashem and says, "What did you do?" And he complains and complains, "Lama hareyoyso." And then Hashem, the parashas Ve'era begins, and Hashem says, "Ve'era el Avraham el Yitzchak el Yaakov bekel Shaka Yushmi Hashem oy chaval al di avdin." Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov never complained, but Moshe, you complain, complain, complain. If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. What are you doing here? Now, fast forward. Parshas B'Shalach, it's the same curse. And Moshe takes the abuse. Nothing. He listens, not a word. He davens to Hashem. In Shemos, when they cursed Moshe, Moshe was so shaken up, he goes to Hashem, and he goes berserk. And Hashem says, "Oy, Gival, what am I doing?" Who grew from this experience? Moshe grew quite a bit. Moshe grew. How was Moshe able to grow from now take the abuse and not say a word? You know what the answer is? Because he has experience. Experience. Because after he said to Paro, after Paro said no more straw, and what happened? 10 makos. Bizas Mitzrayim. miracles and miracles and miracles. V'chol b'nei Yisrael haya ar b'may shoysam. V'ish Moshe godol me'oy b'enei paru v'enei kola'am. Moshe was a superstar. Moshe, Klal Yisrael, the Klal Yisrael were rock stars. New now, we got a problem? I have experience. It's always darkest before the light. I remember I went to Paro, the world came to an end. The proof is, I said to Hashem, Alama Hari Ulsa. And Hashem said, oh, Chaval al diavdin v'loy mishtachin, I gotta go deal with this generation. It's not like the olden times, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And what happened? Miracles, Bizas Mitzrayim, Moshe was respected, Klal Yisrael was respected. No, you hit a bump in the road. Now we got a bump in the road. We're traveling. We have in front of us the Amud HaOnan, Amud HaEsh. Amud HaEsh, Amud HaOnan, Nabe, the Malach Elohim, Ayelich Malach Elohim. The Malach Elohim with us, and we have the Amud HaEsh, Amud HaOnan, and V'lo Korav Zelzeh Kol HaLayla. So no, there's a bump in the road. And now Klal Yisrael says to Moshe, HaMibli and Kvar B'Mitzrayim, and they curse him. You know, I have experience. The last time you cursed me, it was even worse. And did we get through it? We got through it just A-okay. So you know what? We'll get through this also. That's the Musa Haskil in life. When you come to a difficult situation, be like Moshe and be like David. David does this all the time. The Mefarsh, they pick up on this. We once learned, I don't remember which one, was it the Radak? And when David is going through a very difficult situation, he always ends off with Chizuk. And what's the Chizuk? I'm here, I've been betrayed, I have no one to talk to, there's no justice department that I can go to file a lawsuit. I'm mamish, I'm in a desperate, desperate situation. My most loyal friends have betrayed me, and the only one that I can turn to is Hashem. And then he says, I'll get through this also. I have experience. I have life experience. Ki mikol tzara hitziloni. I've been in this situation before. I've been in worse. And this and that, and every difficulty Hashem got me through. Uve oivai ro'aso eini, in the past tense, my eyes saw the downfall of my enemies in the past. So you know what? That is a life experience, a lesson that in this situation I'll get through it also. It's not any worse than what we've been through before. And that itself is an incredible lesson. Person finds himself in a very difficult matzav, you have to say to yourself, did we ever experience something like this? Ein chodosh tachas hashemesh. There's nothing new. What goes around comes around. We've been through this, all these type of things we've been through before in history. At the end of the day, we'll get through this as well. You have to have emunah. David knows, you got me this far. You'll get me to the next step as well. Very powerful Musar in this mizmah. Now let's look over here at a few things in the Mefarshim. Here. Now let's look at this Maimon Chazal in the pasuk on page 478 in the Likutei Shas. The Likutei Shas on the bottom says, "Bevoy this Maimon Chazal." This Maimon Chazal is the reason why it triggered my interest is because it uses a word that Rashi says in the beginning of Parsha Shemos, which I'm assuming Rashi took that word from Chazal. I didn't look it up, but I'm assuming it's the same. Rashi got it from Chazal. But what does it say over here? When the Zifim arrived, they sent a message. They sent a WhatsApp text to Shaul. Shaul? They put on status. They put on their status a picture of where Shaul is. The street, the GPS location. This, does anyone here know what status is? No, okay. So, okay, not everyone knows what status is. Okay. So they send a message to Shaul that David is mistater, he's hiding with us. What does it say? My Zifim. What is the Zifim? And the Zifim, Pshut Shal Mikra, if you look at the Mepharshim, maybe we'll see in a moment, it's the name of a family. It's the name of David's cousins, in Sheva Yehuda, but Chazal Kedarkom, they read things nothing is a coincidence. They take the name of a family and they darshan a hidden message. People that are liars, the mezayif, the hypocrites, the liars, they abuse the koyach hadibur, fake news, misinformation, disinformation, or the outright al chayt, the word mezuyif. Okay, they're liars. They people who severely abuse the koyach hadibur. Rabbi Loza Oymer al shem mikoyma. Rabbi Loza says symbol is a location where they live. Rabbi Yochanan says that the word zifim focuses on mizuyofim, people who are liars. What does this mean? Kiddush Sefer, the second opinion says, Rabbi Loza says, it's a location, Sefer Yoshua, there's a city called Zif Vitelem Uve Olais. Fine. That's one chazal. That's not really what I wanted. I want the next one. Amar Ababar Abakana, Doiroy Shal David, Kulam Tzadikim Hayu. They were all tzaddikim. It's a pretty big statement. The Ali Day Shayulacham Deila Toirim. In other words, they were very good. You go look in the newspaper, open up the FJJ back in the day in the time of David HaMelech, you would see incredible articles, ches organizations, and dinners. Wow, what a generation. What a generation. The Amech Kulam Tzadikim. If that's the case, why do they suffer? Why? Because they were informers. The word "day lo toirim" is a very interesting word. Rabbi Chol, you want to comment on this word?
Sure. It's the same word that Methodist Jews is referring to, not dasan and avira.
Oh, excellent. Paro sent. No, I think that's a different word. As a spies. I think in that right left Paris Bashalach. I think it's a different word. I think he used a different word over there. He doesn't use the word Deila Torah. It's another Greek word. He sends spies. He doesn't use that word. Bashalach. This word is used in Parshas Shemois by Dosan Vaviram when they said Lomo Sakereyecha Hal Hargeni Ata Omer Kasha Rakta Esoish. So Moshe says, Ochein Noida Hadovar. Rashi, your comments. Moshe said, I'm wondering why other people get into this. Now I know. Because I see amongst the Jewish people, there are Deila Toirin. Rashi uses that word. I see, I killed the Mitzri in Egyptian. And I thought, Vayifen Koy V'choy. Moshe looked here and there. Pashup Shad is, no one is watching. I didn't think there was a balloon in the sky that was watching what I'm doing over here. I didn't think anyone was watching. And I see there are people that are watching. So knew they watched. Good, so you know some secrets. But you have to go and inform. You have to call home and go tell the government what I did. There are Deila Toirin. Deila Toirin. You know, I always used to think. I'm telling you, I was very naive, and I used to think that in America, this whole concept, you know, a moser, a person who informs, rats out another Jew to the government. According to the Rambam says beferush is a roidev, and you're allowed to kill him. Now take that in context.
You won't stand up in court.
Take that in context. Take that in context. That in time when the Rambam lived. When the Rambam lived, dealing with the Romans, if you have a Jew and he doesn't pay his taxes, so what is the penalty for cheating on your taxes? Oh, they'll put you in a country club for 10 days. They'll put you in a country club for 10 days that you didn't pay your taxes, and they'll give you a big fine. So the Rambam says, the Romans are not like that, because even though the Romans, you know, maybe the penalty according to the law, if you commit some minor infraction, if you report a speeding ticket, you were going 66 miles an hour in a 65 mile zone. So you go and you're watching a guy. on the highway and he's going 66 miles an hour and it's only 65. You get on the telephone, you call the police. There's a guy speeding on the highway. And they come and they go and they give him a fine. So the Rambam says such a person is a Moiser and he's Chayiv Misa because he's a Roidev. Because why? Because the Romans, when you call up the Romans and you tell the Romans that the guy is going 66 miles an hour, they're not just going to give him a ticket. They're going to kill him. They're going to kill him. They're going to take him to the prison and they're going to torture him to death. They're going to steal his money and they're going to say, you know, he just got a heart attack and he died. We didn't do anything to him. This because there was no justice. So they would say this in America for generations. In America, that halacha does not apply in America. Because in America, it's a Medina shel chesed. And in America, if a person that's a criminal, you have to call the police. You got to call the police. You have to do so. Especially, you got to call the police. And that was pretty much in the many, many Rabbanim and Gedolim. They basically said that what it says in the Rambam, in the Gemara, that a Moiser is a Roidev, and it is the worst thing in the world you can possibly do, does not apply Bizman Hazeh in a civilized world. In a world of transparency, and v'chulu, 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 v'chulu. And I really embraced that halacha for many, many years. But unfortunately, Ramachal will tell you, Ramachal, does that apply today?
Let's put it this way. Some have tried to avoid testifying in cases against fellow Jews, and it don't stand up in court.
What do you mean? I don't understand what you mean. What do you mean?
You can't claim as a defense, I can't testify against another Jew on religious grounds. It's not acceptable.
Right, that's actually, no, but today it's very frightening. People, if you get in trouble with the law today, Itaka, it's things have taken a very, very frightening...
Well, you said in civilized society.
Yes, it's so, things taking a very frightening turn.
Obviously,
when there's no Yiras Elokim, Rak and Yiras Elokim B'mokai Mazeh, when the country is embracing policies that are mamish keneged kol HaTorah Kula, you really have to ask yourself.
Or against Jews.
I don't know against Jews. I'm not saying against Jews. Why is this against Jews? When a country is embracing an ideology that is mamish keneged kol HaTorah Kula of Rak and Yiras Elokim, you have to really revisit this question. You have to revisit this question of you know, it's, we live in a very dangerous world. It's a very frightening concept. Here, in this thing over here, we have Day Moshe. What did Moshe say? Moshe said they are Day Lo Toirin. Ochein Noida Hadavar. I was wondering, Rashi says, why are the Jewish people suffering? Everyone here is a good person. Now that I see there are informers, we're going to loosely translate the word Deilo Torin as informers. Now I know why they suffer.
Right.
It's a shocking thing. Just because of that, a few people, they rat out someone else. That's why they suffer so much. And now they reported me to Paro. They told Paro that I killed someone. And Paro now, they apprehended Moshe and they put him to the guillotine and they try to chop off his head and a miracle happened that his neck turned into stone and they were unsuccessful and Moshe miraculously escaped. They tried to kill Moshe. Ochei noida hadavar. De lo toirin. Here, he calls this whole mizmar the zifim. You know what the translation of the word zifim is? De lo toirin. We've been struggling to find the good translation for the word the zifim, these people called the zifim.
I was thinking of like the zu yafim.
Yeah, that's the push-up shot. That's what he starts out with. But in this medrash, he goes further. Amar Rabbi Abba Kahana, Doyer Shal David Kulam Tzadikim, they're wonderful people. One, they only one chesaron. They're just like the door of Mitzrayim. Wonderful people, one chesaron. What was the one chesaron? The Ali Dei Shayolachem Dei Lo Toirin. Society tolerated such a thing of ratting out people. They would go out into war. They would fall in war. They would die in war. They were unsuccessful in war because amongst their comrades, they were De Lo Toirin.
Because I recall Maral discussing this, saying because of it shows disunity among the people. Contrast that with Achav, who was very successful, even though he was a rotten guy, because nobody informed.
No informers.
Nobody informed that Eliyahu and the prophets he was hiding.
Exactly. Exactly. Look how he concludes. And then he goes for Loshonim Chedev Achada, Elu Azifim, the Se, Bevo Azifim, Vayim Loshol, Boys Ashol, Amadav, Lefnek, Lesparach, we boy Noilim, Ma Shechinoscha Lerid Boretz, Salek Shechinoscha Mibenehon. Look at this curse. This is the ultimate curse you can give a person. When David, when they informed on David to show where he was, which meant that David's life would come to an end, they would come after him, he was Mispal to Hashem, remove the Shechina from these people. The Shechina should not rest among his own people, amongst Klal Yisrael. David could not tolerate that they were amongst Klal Yisrael, Deilo Toirin. Remove the Shechina. I don't want there to be a Shechina amongst my own family. Because, I mean, that's the ultimate curse. Remove, when there's no Shechina resting amongst people, then who knows what's going to happen. This is the ultimate, the frustration of Deilo Toirin. I know someone...
But it's an interesting way to curse. He's not cursing that they should get harmed.
Killed. It's Mimela. It's a Garmi.
It's a Mimela.
It's a Garmi. When you turn off the Iron Dome,
then what happens, happens.
He's telling them to turn off the ultimate Iron Dome, to remove the Shechina from them. I know someone, Davin, he has a son, and I know the person, he's in the Marines. He's no more, he's finished. He was there for 5 years, now he's done. He's done his service. He was in the Marines for 5 years.
US.
You know what it means to be a Marine?
75.
U.S. Marines. This is not just boot camp. This is serious. You know who they are. A serious thing. So one of his sons was in the Marines for 5 years. So the father told me that he was in the Marines, and it was Yom Kippur, and religious freedom in the United States military. So he was fasting on Yom Kippur. So his comrades in the unit, why aren't you eating today? So he said, I'm Jewish, and today is Yom Kippur, and I don't eat on Yom Kippur. So I said, really? Tell us about this. Tell us about. He explained to them a little bit. The old guy, I know the Marines, you know, they're macho, all the whole body of tattoos. And you know, these guys, you ever see what a Marine, these are the real guys. These are the real people. And they said, you know what? If you're fasting today, we're all fasting. The entire unit fasted Yom Kippur. They're goyim. They didn't fast the Shem Shemayim.
Maybe they did.
No, they didn't. I don't think they did. No. They didn't fast.
They just didn't have any bread.
That is the mentality. We are a unit. We're Marines. We're a unit. United States of America. You are fasting. We're all fasting. We are in this together. That's the discipline. David said, if Klal Yisrael can't have that discipline, they're not worthy of a Shechina. We're in this together. One of us is the problem. It's a problem for all. We're one organism. We're one unit. There are daily Torah. Here we are. Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu. We're here in Mitzrayim. We're guests. This is not our country. We're just guests in this land. And there's someone over here, and I see it, Moshe was a leader, obviously. And there's a person that with the whole Maisa with the whole story with where were they? Moshe Rabbeinu saw fit to execute someone, an Egyptian. And someone goes and informs the Moshe Rabbeinu. We got big problems here. There's disunity, exactly what you said. There's disunity, and therefore this cannot continue. And therefore, I'm out of here. Moshe ran away. He left, and here's the same. The story of the Zifim is a story of betrayal. It's the story of Deilo Toirin. It's the same word. This is the story of Moshe Rabbeinu. David says, "There's no one to save me but you, Hashem." Okay, we had the experiences. Okay, most mefarshim. There's one quick. I want to go further to Martin Mar. There's one. I think one Radak. I should just read the Radak. If I could find it. If I can't find it, we'll forget about it. There's an important Radak here. Talks about the Zifim. Let me see if I can find it over here very quickly. Let's see. Probably not going to be able to find it. I don't remember what I marked down. Let's see. Let's read this. Let's just read Ches and Tes. Okay, there's one last one. The last Malbum on page 480. Okay, bin dav the ezbecha lecha bin nidvas lev the oydeh shimcha Hashem ki tov bima she'oz kasher itu shol vanoshav es David. They surrounded David. They surrounded. Itu means they crowned, but over here it doesn't mean a crown in a good way. It means they encircled. They besieged David. Vanoshav lesafsam. He's telling you a little of the background of the story. David came that close, a hair's breadth of being killed. David was about, David will have this with Nebuchadnezzar, some stories like this as well, is where Shaul was just about ready to be captured by Shaul. A miracle happened, a report came in to Shaul that the Pelishtim are just about ready to attack. There's an attack that's being launched upon your palace, upon some strategic part of Eretz Yisrael, and if you don't come now to save them, then you're going to be finished. So Shaul says, what a shame. We just needed 5 more minutes. We would have had Dove in our hands, but we have no choice. We have to go and save Klal Yisrael. So David retreated. This was a blatant miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent that message to get Shaul out of here, because David would have been finished in 5 minutes. Look at what it says over here, the story. This is Sefer Shmuel. B'meh she'oz kasher itru Shaul v'anoshav, when Shaul v'anoshav, they surrounded David, al David v'anoshav, l'sof some to seize them. But Malach al Shaul, a messenger, told Shaul, v'amoloi, ki pashtu pelishtim al ha'aretz, the pelishtim are about to attack. Quick, come! Vayoshav Shaul mirdoif achrei David. Shaul had no choice but to retreat and send his troops to a more important battle. The Ali de Koch mikol tsari hitzilani. Okay, this is not what I told you. The other pshat, but this is telling you a historical pshat. Voivai rosa einai hagam shari isi voivai loy hutz hutzrach diluchem imohem velishpech dam rak hitziltani gam mizeh. Very important yisad, he says over here is, I don't need to see my enemy's blood. I don't need that. I don't need to see shvichas damim. I just need to see my enemy's retreat. He's saying over a very deep word. It says over here, this is something when we learned the Mitzudas David, he didn't learn like this. The Mitzudas David learned that I saw my enemies be defeated. I saw their blood. I saw flowing a river of blood from my enemies. See, Rashi didn't even talk about this. Rashi said Nakam. He did say Nakam, and we learned pshat that I saw in the it's going to pass battles as a source of chizuk. But the Malbum says something very, very profound, and he's saying is by me I don't need to see my enemies die. I just want them to leave me alone. Leave me alone. Yeah, but if you leave someone alone, they come back to haunt you many times. If you don't uproot your enemies, non-Jews, but sometimes it's Jews also, you don't completely eradicate them, they're going to come back to live another day and bother you again. But David here says, Hagam shari isi ba'oivai loichutz rachti lilchem imohem v'lishpech dam. I don't need to spill their blood. Rak hitzaltani gamiza. You save me from seeing their blood. V'zeh ha'yetzlo ikar hanes shloi nitzol alidei milchama v'shvichas dam. Over here, David is surrounded by Shaul and his men. One of two things can happen. I need a miracle. So I'm going to have either one of two different miracles. Miracle number one, they're all going to die. We have a few men, and we're going to miraculously wipe them all out. Or another miracle is they're going to get a phone call. You got to come home now. You got to come home now. Your wife wants you to come home now. Isn't that what Reagan did a lot? Reagan, Nancy, every of these stories is about Reagan. He went to Russia, and he was negotiating with Gorbachev. All these things that were going on. And his wife told him, you better get home now. She drove him crazy. He's got to read the history. And he says, if I don't get home on time for dinner, get on the plane now in 12 hours, whatever, she's going to kill me. So we're going to have to continue this meeting another time. Mamish. I'm not joking. Go Google it. Google it. It's like, I got to get out of here now. And that probably saves from a lot of trouble by cutting the meeting short. David over here saying the miracle was he got a phone call and he left. I didn't have to come on to kill all of the people, kill all everyone. That is a tremendous miracle that this ended peacefully. And that itself is a very powerful limit. Okay, tomorrow, Mirat Hashem, we're going to Mizmor Nun Hey, the story of Achitofel. Achitofel and Avshalom.
Two Bishvat food in the back. Thank you, Mark. Well, Laser, you brought in?
Yes, in memory of my grandfather.